And I got some things that's on my heart, and I don't know how long it'll take me to get them off. But I've thought about this, and usually when it's this away, I just sort of let the Lord try to lead me in any way I can. But I want to talk to you about the dispensation of grace. There's a lot of people that don't like the word dispensation, and there's a lot of people that talk about it, make fun of it. But I believe a dispensational Bible study is the only way that you can study your Bible. And I want you to notice in Colossians chapter 1, and verse 23. Well, let me go back, and it's really, it's hard to break in the context of this, but verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, and that has to do with your works at the judgment seat of Christ, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. And of course, the hope of the gospel there is what Robbie was taught about. It has to do with the rapture of the church. It has to do with us being delivered. It has to do with us getting a new body to go along with the creation that we have in Christ Jesus. And which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, the gospel, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now, this mystery is what's going to fulfill the Word of God. He's talking about to fulfill the Word of God, even the mystery. Now, there's some things that I want to talk to you about, the dispensation of we live in. Just turn down Colossians there. We're coming right back to Colossians, but look in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says in verse 1, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of you, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. And so it's obvious that the dispensation, the word dispensation, is a biblical word. He said, and the heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, probably in chapters 1 and 2, especially in chapter 2. Wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, and beside this verse you ought to write out mystery, because verse 6 is the mystery, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, people will say that in verse 2, they heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, and they'll take that and say, well, that's God dispensing grace to the Apostle Paul so that he can go to the Gentiles, and it has nothing to do with no time, it has nothing to do with any age that we're living in. And they use verse 9 down there, or verse 8, when he talks about the grace being given. Is this grace given? And they say that the dispensing, if you've heard of the dispensation of grace, is not a period of time that we live in. It was just simply that God gave Paul special grace to go to Gentiles that was idol worshiping Gentiles, and that's the dispensation of grace. Now let's look at that thing, and folks, that's what a lot of the apostate fundamentalists, you want to call them, Brother Moore called them that, but I got to thinking about this thing. That's what religion would have you to believe. That there is no, what you say, period of time, or no dispensation. But the word dispensation has to do with administration. It has to do with economy. It has to do with stewardship. When Paul said, if you've heard of the dispensation, he's actually saying, have you heard of the ministration? It's something being dealt out. Sure is. It's a word that we get our dispensary from. People go, you go up to, in the army, you would go get your drugs or whatever, medicine. If you had to take medicine, you would go to the dispensary. And they would dispense unto you certain medicines that you was to take, and they called it a dispensary. That's the idea of the word dispensation. But there's got to be time involved in this thing. Even dispensing out stuff takes time. And administration. We have, we are going to elect a president. Whoever he is, or whoever gets it, he's going to have administration. And he's going to have, and his ministration is going to ministrate things and dispense things and on and on. So the dispensation of the grace of God, it does cover a period of time. It's when God is administrating certain things and dispensing certain things, and we are stewards of the grace of God and the mysteries of God in this time that we're living in. So what is God doing today? God is saving men by His grace. And I've said this over and over again, that Paul started his epistles, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can check it out, every epistle that he writes, the salutation in that epistle is by his own handwriting according to Thessalonians. And it's always grace and peace. And grace comes before peace. You can't have peace with God and have the peace of God if you have never experienced His grace in saving you. And so God is not angry with the world today. God is not judging the world today. God is not bringing hurricanes and destroying people because of their sin. God is not judging men today because of their sins. God judged His Son in AD 33 for their sins. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you probably have it memorized, but nevertheless, look with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And notice in verse 17. Well, I'll tell you what, go back and let's just read verse 15. And that He died for all, Christ, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Well, why shouldn't you live unto yourself? Because He died for you. He purchased you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. And you could add, after the flesh. Or what is knowing Christ after the flesh? Well, you would know Him as the King of Israel after the flesh. You would know Him as the Messiah for Israel after the flesh. You would know Him as the Lamb of God for Israel, the sacrificial Lamb after the flesh. You would know Him as that Lamb that shed His blood for the new covenant, as the Lamb in the Old Testament, and they took that Lamb and they put it on the blood of that Lamb on the doorpost, and God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And they call it Passover, and that's when the blood was shed for that covenant. And so it is in the New Testament, there was a Lamb, and that Lamb was to the nation Israel the Passover Lamb, and He shed His blood for that New Testament. But a Lamb didn't die for you, a man died for you. Amen. The man Christ Jesus. So what you would have up here in AD 33, He goes and He dies. He's put to death for your sins. Back here in His earthly ministry, you'd have Matthew through John. And back here, Jesus Christ is to the nation Israel. In fact, look with me in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew chapter 15, notice this woman of Canaan. Verse 22. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David. Well, that would be Christ after the flesh. He said, have mercy on me, thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's bothering us, Lord. This woman is continuously crying after Him. But He answered and said, anybody that wants to can come unto me and I'll save them. Is that what He said? Look what He said. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to what? The children's bread has to do with the gospel message of the kingdom. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The earthly ministry back here, knowing Christ after the flesh, when you would know Him as the Son of David. Why? Why David? Because the Son of David is going to be heir to the throne. Knowing Christ after the flesh, you would know Him as the King. And I've already said, the Lamb. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Knowing Christ after the flesh has to do with His earthly kingdom ministry, that He's going to Israel only. But Paul said, we did know Christ after the flesh. Look back in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him. How much? Is Paul saying we forgot about Him? No. We don't know Him in His earthly physical ministry that was to the nation Israel back here. Hang on, one other passage. We're coming right back. Look in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, notice what the Apostle Paul said. Romans 15 verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the who? Now who's the circumcision? Israel. Was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Turn back to chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Just to remove any doubt who he's talking about. Romans chapter 9. Notice he said in verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Paul said, as concerning the flesh, Christ came to who? Israel. And to know Christ after the flesh is to know Him in His earthly ministry to Israel. And folks, you can't follow that earthly ministry that He did to Israel and follow Him today in the dispensation of grace. Why? Well, I don't think that was very gracious of Him in Matthew 15 to you. He annoyed the woman. He wouldn't even answer. And she got down in her rightful place. He said, it ain't right for me to give the children's bread to a dog. Now, if you did that today, you'd be on Fox News before the sun went down. Maybe not Fox, but I guarantee NBC would have you. I'm just telling you, folks, there's a difference. We're talking about the dispensation of grace. We're talking about following the Lord. We're talking about honoring the Lord. Well, I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I love to read them books, and I realize when I read them books that King, the Son of David, is my Savior. But He didn't tell me to follow Him and walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You can't do it. Why? He's under the law. Look back in Matthew again. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8. Verse 1. When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth His hand, touched him, saying, I will, be Thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Well, you couldn't do that today if you tried. Why? They was going to offer a blood sacrifice. While the Humane Society be down on your neck faster than ugly is on an ape if you tried to do that. Couldn't do it. told him to go there and offer a gift, the offer that Moses, you know, you go back to Leviticus and you can find back there where the leper, he'd come and he had leprosy and it'd break out, and if he got cleansed, he had to go and offer blood sacrifices for his cleansing and everything like that. A turtle, and they'd wring the head off and take the blood and put it in basins and all of that stuff. You can't do that today. Jesus Christ told them to offer sacrifices. Look in Matthew, just while we're there in Matthew, turn over to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Look in verse 16. Matthew 19, 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, look what he told him. And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Why would you tell a man today if he come up to you and said, What can I do to have eternal life? Would you say, Well, keep the commandments? Finally, the man said, Well, which? And he said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Do you know what commandment? Jesus told him, he started in verse, Thou shalt do no murder. That's commandment number 6. How many knew that? Well, it's obvious y'all ain't keeping the commandments to get to heaven. Funny thing about people talking about keeping the commandments and the golden rule to get to heaven, and you ask them what they are, and they can't even tell you what they are. If that was what I was trusting in, you bless your heart, I'd have them memorized, wouldn't you? He told him, Thou shalt do not, cannot commit adultery. That's number 7. He told him, Thou shalt not steal. That's number 8. He told him, Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's number 9. Then he said, Honor thy father and thy mother. That's number 5. You know what commandment? He said, Well, I've done all of them. What do I like? The first one says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. Thou shalt have no graven images. Do you know what the real thing test was? He never kept the 10th one. He kept 5 through 9, but he never kept the 10th. You know what the 10th one is? How many know it? Thou shalt not covet. He didn't keep the last one. He would not give up his riches. Folks, you don't have to do that today to have eternal life. In fact, you can't do that today. But under the law and in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the ministry of Jesus Christ in the kingdom, they're going to do it. Look what he said in Luke. In Luke chapter... Let's see, I believe it's chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus Christ said, Verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. How many's heard that verse quoted? You ought to seek the kingdom of God and you get all this stuff. They never quote the next verse. What's the first few words of the next verse? Huh? Fear not, little flock. Well, who's the little flock? Remember the flock? I'm not sent but to the lost sheep. He's gathering a flock out from the herd that was scattered. Look what he said. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now what's the next word? What? You reckon he meant that as a metaphor? You reckon he just meant that with, well, I believe you ought to be willing. He said, sell that you have and give alms to provide for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven, in the heavens that fadeth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know something? You know what he, that's what he was telling that rich man. Go sell what you got and give alms. And he went away sorrowful. He didn't keep the last commandment. And he tells the little flock, sell that you have. You reckon they did it? Look in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. They're full of the Holy Spirit. They're going out. They're waiting. The Holy Ghost comes in the day of Pentecost. And look what he said. In verse 42. In Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. That's communism. This is real communism here. It is. It ain't like what you hear in the day. This is the real thing. Why did they have all things common? Verse 45. And sold their possessions and good and parted them to all men as every man had need. Distribution of wealth. The kingdom, folks. Don't you get it? Seek the kingdom. Sell that you got. The kingdoms are coming. You don't need all of that. Lay up for yourselves treasures. Behold the phone. Look in 2 Corinthians. I mean, folks. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, notice in verse 14. You see, you know what the problem is? People don't believe their Bible when they read it. I've had them over and over and over. You show them passages after passages after passages. And you know what they say? Well, that's your interpretation. American people have been brainwashed to believe that words don't mean what they say. That's why that when somebody makes a speech, you have commentators come on after the speech to tell you what they said. They think you're too dumb to hear words. But you know why they do that? They don't believe words mean what they say. This Bible has no hidden meaning. It has no code. God said exactly what He meant, and He wrote it down like He meant it, and you need to believe it like it's wrote. It says what it says, as it says and where it says it. Just believe it. So, well, I don't understand it. God didn't say nothing about understanding. He said believe it. But look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly be spent and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved. You know what Paul said? He said, that's a contradiction there. Jesus Christ said, sell everything you got. Paul said, the parents ought to live for their children. Two different economies. Two different ministrations. Two different dispensations. This back here, the kingdom of heaven, has to do with the king and a kingdom on this earth at hand. And the message is back in here. But over here, go back to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, you're there, turn, look where you're at in verse 5. Chapter 5, I mean. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we were reading. Notice what he says in verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Back here, knowing Christ after the flesh, the nation Israel. Over here, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, what's that new creature? Well, look in Galatians. In Galatians, let's try some passages. In Galatians chapter 3, I believe it is. Notice what he says. In chapter 3, verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. And notice in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's see. Verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then I know the church is his body, and that body is called the body of Christ. And folks, that's the new creature. And if any man be in Christ, in the dispensation of grace, he got there by grace through faith plus nothing. You're saved. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You believe that Christ died for your sins. When you believe that Christ died for your sins, you're baptized into the body of Christ, and you're in that new creature. That creature, that new creation that started in Acts 9 with the Apostle Paul by people getting in there by the gospel. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. I mean, folks, the dispensation of grace has a different economy, a different administration. We are to lay up for our children in here. Oh, that ain't all. While I'm at it, before reading Ephesians chapter 3, look in 1 Thessalonians. Or it might be 2 Thessalonians. Wait a minute just till I get there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he" what? That's a good one, isn't it? In here you work. You work. In here to provide for y'all. Look in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy. While folks, he said them little, they didn't spin, they toil not. You know what he told them back here? The little flock? He said, quit your job. I'll feed you. Sell everything you got. Your land, your houses, and you have all things common back here. I'll take care of you. Oh, ye a little faith. The faith back here is not the faith over here. The faith over here, man's to work if he eats. A man in 1 Timothy, look in chapter 5, in verse 8. "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the" what? "Faith, and is worser than an infidel." So over here, the faith, you had to work to provide for your own family. The gospel back here was a gospel of peace. We might not get to where I told you that, but in Ephesians, I'm going to go back. In Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Notice what he said in verse 6. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ" by what? So how does a man get into this body? By the gospel. You believe the gospel, you're put into that body. He said this grace. He said unto me, "Who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." Well, folks, then I know that mystery, this in here was a mystery. And it was revealed unto the Apostle Paul, and it's called a new creation. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, because he's in the new creation. And it's done by the gospel. Everybody in this body got there by believing the same thing and trusting in the same thing. It's not works, it's not water baptism, it's the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was buried, and God raised him the third day, and you trust that for your salvation. You're baptized, placed into the body of Christ, and you're in the new creation of God, and it's by grace, through faith, plus nothing. Why can't people see that? The grace, gospel. Back here, works. Sure enough, keep the commandments if you want to have life. No works over here. You have Acts 1, 2, and 3, 1 through 9. Paul gets saved in Acts 9. And when this body's complete, we're going out. And then there's the 3.5 years trib on this side, 3.5 years. We call it time of Jacob's trouble. Second coming, 1,000-year reign of Christ on here, eternity on out there. And folks, you have Hebrews through Revelation. And by the way, Hebrews was wrote to who? Hebrews. James chapter 1 verse 1. James the apostle to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Who are the 12 tribes? Israel. That's why in James you have James chapter 2 contradicts Romans chapter 4. James says faith without works is dead. Paul says not by works, which you can do. If it's of works, it's not of grace. If it's grace, it's not of works. Two difference. Economies. This is the grace. One day this body's going out. When this body's complete, then God is going to do something else. Look with me in Revelation. in Revelation chapter 6. Notice in Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath is come, who shall be able to stand? Over here, God's going to pour His wrath out on this world. Psalms says, every nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. That includes the United States. Now, I don't hold his philosophy or nothing like that, but the old man that you hear that commercial, you know, no, 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 not God bless America, but God beep America. You know, you hear that commercial? One of these days, God is going to judge this nation and it's going to be in His wrath. You have the opportunity today to be saved by grace. God is giving you grace today. But one day over here, when this day of grace is ended, then God's going to speak in His wrath. And you don't want the wrath of God. The last verse, and I'm going to turn in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, we then as workers together with Him beseech you all that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Receiving it in vain is receiving it without any need. It's the same as without a cause. Believing without a cause. What is the cause for you to receive the grace of God today? What is the cause for you to receive the gospel today? The cause is, I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I can't save myself. And if His grace doesn't save me, I'm going to get that wrath. Now I want to tell you something, folks, today. Jesus Christ died for your sins and paid for your sins and bore the wrath of God for you. But you reject Him, someday you'll pay for it and you'll bore the wrath of God for yourself. And you don't want that. He said, for He saith, verse 2, I've heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That word succored, it's aid. God is giving you aid right now. God is aiding you right now. If you're here lost, God's helping you right now. How is He doing it? By me preaching the gospel to you. And by you seeing that all you need to do is receive His Son as your personal Savior. And folks, that's the good news. This is the day of salvation in here. Over here, it's going to be the day of wrath over here. You don't want that wrath. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for being here. Shake hands with one another and you can go.